It's important for you as an entrepreneur in the early stages of the business to do the bookkeeping on your own for a little bit of a period of time. Because as an entrepreneur and as a CEO or founder, you need to understand where every dollar is coming in and going outside of your business. Now, once you are clear in that understanding, then we believe it makes sense for you to move from do-it-yourself towards a bookkeeper. For us, there's really three considerations we often hear about in regards to when is a good time for an entrepreneur to make that move to hire an outsourced cloud accountant like ourselves. The first is their accounting experience and their willingness to learn financial skills. The second is an available budget for hiring someone else to take care of it for you. If you have the resources and your superhero abilities are not unique to organization and consistency, and that kind of goes into our third. So you lack the experience, you lack the budget, but then also many entrepreneurs do lack the time.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Elevated Entrepreneur Podcast. On today's episode, I'm traveling all the way to Tucson, Arizona. Well, not literally travel, but figuratively, you know, since COVID is still around and I'm pretty much stuck in Toronto. And that is a whole different episode, my friends. But back to today's episode, I'm talking to Wayne Richards from Bean Ninjas, one of the world's leading cloud accounting firms and an expert in helping small businesses with accounting and bookkeeping. I'm talking to Wayne about a subject that was my least favorite in school, but one of the most important ones in my journey as an entrepreneur. And that topic, wait for it, is accounting for small business. But wait, don't turn me off yet. Don't get bored, because we're not talking about boring CFO stuff, but we're talking more fun stuff. And before I tell you about that, I want to tell you about Wayne, because Wayne is an amazing person to talk about this stuff. Wayne had a 15-year career at Hewlett Packard before he started his own accounting business in Tucson, and then eventually became an equity partner in Bean Ninjas. Wayne has also spoken in front of live audiences at Shopify, Dynamite Circle, and DC Austin. He's also the resident CFO for Admission Mastermind and has been featured in numerous publications around the world, including Insightful Accountant, Fundbox, TaxJar, and the A2X blog. When Wayne isn't managing a global team, he is being an everyday superhero to his wife and, get this, 5 children. I'm really happy to have Wayne on this episode today as we get into all things an entrepreneur should know about accounting when running a business. If you're just starting your business, or if you've been running your business for a while, this episode is going to give you an amazing amount of value. So stay tuned and let's cue the intro.
You're listening to the Elevated Entrepreneur Podcast, a podcast designed to help retailers, restaurateurs, and entrepreneurs simplify business operations and use modern technology to elevate their business. Here's your host, Darren Bhatia.
Wayne, thank you so much for coming on the Elevated Entrepreneur Podcast. It's a treat to have you. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. I enjoy these opportunities, kind of reflect a bit on the past, but also help share some knowledge and insights to your listeners.
Thank you, Wayne. And I know you from Bean Ninjas, the cloud accounting company. So tell me, please, more about Bean Ninjas and tell me your story behind Bean Ninjas as well.
Sure. So Bean Ninjas as a company was founded actually 5 years ago on July 1st. So we're now coming close to our 5-year anniversary. We had an amazing opportunity yesterday, my business partner Merrill Johnson and I, to reflect on our journey and share some highs and lows along the way, strategies that we had tried and implemented, some that have been successful, others that might not have been so successful that we've used as learning opportunities. So we were founded actually on a premise of a 7-day startup, which is quite interesting. So Dan Norris had wrote a book called The 7-Day Startup, and it was really the principles and methodologies that Merrill had used with her business partner at the time to found the company. So essentially what that meant is, from concept to identifying a business name, registering the company, having a logo, getting a website up and running, identifying your core solution and obtaining your first customer in the period of 7 days. And they were able to achieve that. Yeah, so it was quite exciting. She covered it in one of our earlier podcast episodes on the Bee Ninjas podcast. But within the early years, we kind of were a provider of bookkeeping and financial reporting services to everybody. So anyone that had a particular need for accounting services, we were in a position and interested in supporting. We grew as a company organically and also through word of mouth. We tried almost everything in terms of marketing in the early days and started identifying the need to really niche to start to target those marketing efforts and the products that we were delivering, the services we were providing. So in the early days, it was decided it was still a broad niche. We said we provided zero bookkeeping services for online businesses. So we began to support business coaches, travel bloggers, info products, sales folks, SaaS businesses, but also e-commerce operators. And within that, we were identified and introduced to certain online communities that really supported these types of entrepreneurs. One of the most important that we had a lot of success in not only sharing our journey alongside, but also building amazing relationships with, it's called the Dynamite Circle. There's a podcast, the TMBA podcast, that we've been fortunate enough to have our journey shared on throughout the years. But also we've just made amazing partnerships, have formed great relationships, and have sourced a lot of our customers from this space. Within that community, we started to get introduced to US-based customers. So Bee Ninjas, the genesis stories that we really founded in Australia. And the intent was maybe at some point to be a global business, but certainly not as early on as we had the opportunity. So in these online communities and in networking with entrepreneurs that had a similar interest in travel in particular, we were able to build out relationships and identify that the pain points and the service that was being asked for from these US businesses was very much the same as the pain points and the services being asked of the Australian customers. So we began supporting US-based businesses. And around 3 years ago, so August of 2017, I joined Bee Ninjas. And within that time, I had built a small regional bookkeeping firm delivering very similar services to Bee Ninjas. So I had my client base acquired, which in essence helped accelerate our US portfolio. In the time since joining Bee Ninjas, we've almost now become a US bookkeeping and cloud accounting firm headquartered in Australia, as our client mix has nearly swapped. When I joined, we were about 33% international customers, as we supported customers in the US, Canada, and then also Hong Kong limited entities. And in the time and in the 3 years, we've really focused our attention on marketing to US-based entrepreneurs or expats that may be your digital nomads running online businesses, but traveling and operating those businesses out of a laptop in their backpack from an amazing beachside cafe in Chiang Mai, Thailand, which presented interesting opportunities for me as well. Personally, I had spent my career in corporate. I had worked for HP in various roles within finance and accounting, ending in a role as a finance manager of a large team, but was faced with a difficult decision and task of laying off a third of my team and then receiving that phone call when I was done that my decision was to either relocate to three cities that weren't quite in the mix and are quite fit for where my family needed to be. In terms of my having five children, my wife and I have been blessed. We had two children, were surprised by triplets. So we went 1, 2, 5 kids. So really the support structure and the community that we have here in Tucson, Arizona, really helped me guide to a comfort level in taking a severance from HP, but using that as seed money to start my own venture. Again, as I shared, I built that venture independently and without the support of a team, and in working alongside Bee Ninjas, just really found that an opportunity for me to partner in Bee Ninjas that had already had built an amazing brand, had an amazing team that could deliver a lot of the tasks that as an entrepreneur, you really shouldn't be invested in doing. There's skills and what I like to call superhero abilities that you as an entrepreneur uniquely have that could best support your business. And there's those other things that tend to fill your time. And the reason they fill your time is because you either really lack the interest in doing them, you leave them as the least priority. So it's something that is in a position where it just has to get done at that moment and becomes very interruptive to you to get done those things that you really should be focusing on. So having an ability to partner into Bee Ninjas and to have an amazing team support those things that I really shouldn't have been doing helped us be in a position where now united, we can really support and focus on growth within the company. It asks kind of a little bit about my role in the company and my introduction. I started as a contract bookkeeper. I saw a job ad that had been posted by Bee Ninjas and I thought, wow, I'm building something, but I want to know how they're building their business. And I was very transparent with Merrill at the time in the conversations because we had connected off a podcast episode. I heard her mentioned on and I researched the company. And in doing so, I had shared a comment on one of their blogs, just really congratulating them on the transparency that they had shared within their early blog post about the progress in growing their practice and some of the things that they had tried to scale their practice. And one of the action items I set to myself in this post was, I hope to find an accountability partner similar to you. And little did I know my accountability partner in a short time would actually be Merrill, the individual I was commenting to. So in the early stages, we really worked together with the idea that our vision was so united in what we felt an accounting firm should look like in supporting customers in this virtual world and in this online space. And we were consistent in our view that the hourly model that traditional accounting firms use is broken. You are not motivated to be any more efficient if you are paid by the hour. So what we felt is, let's uniquely understand the pain point and the problems that our customers are facing within either the stress of working on their financials brings them, the lack of time they may have to put the appropriate attention into doing what they know they should be doing correctly. But also, like, let's not fault us for the skills and the knowledge and experience that we can bring through insights and advisory from our unique perspective in seeing hundreds of financial statements and talking to entrepreneurs each day. So those insights and advisory where you may be an entrepreneur that's so uniquely focused in your particular business, unless you're someone that's interested in joining masterminds and spending time outside talking to others, you might be so pigeonholed into the view of your business alone that you fail to see opportunities that could be around you. And what we hope to do is share some of those insights and advisory based on our experience with other sellers.
Oh, thank you. And Merrill and I have also spoken offline and I completely get your vision and I'm so inspired to have you on. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you guys on the podcast, just to share some of that experience. But you've given me so much to talk about and I want to go back to a few things that you mentioned. So number one, 5 kids. Wow, that's unbelievable. I know you and I were talking offline and we said, well, technically 3 because the triplets are like a unit. And I love that expression because when you hear someone say, I have 5 kids, all I can think of is all the amount of work that goes into that. But congratulations. It's not easy, I'm sure, but you look like you're having fun.
Absolutely. It's similar strategies to business. It really is successful when you have the right team. And my wife is an amazing partner. We truly see each other as a team in this. Our responsibility is unique to us. And we often hear from people, I don't know how you do it. There's no choice for us not to. Our children need to eat. They need to be fed. They need to be educated. They need to be loved. And they need to be felt as individuals like they are the greatest human that is on this planet. So it's our unique position to be that for them. So my wife and I really have made decisions that have allowed us to be present and engaged in our children's lives and have also supported each other. I made the decision, not independent of her input, to leave corporate in a very traditional security that's felt by having a paycheck that posts in your account every fortnight or every other week and try something on my own. Now, I could not have done that without her support. And in the early days, when you go from comfort and in earnings that might be here, in the early days, having $250 coming in at the end after expenses from your one customer, those are times where you really need to just have those open, transparent conversations and share with them what you're trying and how you're making these investments in networking or partnerships or the opportunities that you're exploring to try new things. And I was fortunate through networking and through, I think, my superhero ability, which is sales and connecting with people, I was able to establish some premium customers early on in my entrepreneurial journey. But then also, it is a lot of fun. I think the way that we operate business, and I believe Cloudscape is very similar, we operate virtually. So it provides the unique opportunity to provide freedom to yourself and your team members. And freedom is one of our core values. And what that means to us is really the freedom to be there at your child's baseball game or soccer match or kindergarten graduation or to be at the theater performance to really celebrate and enjoy their moments. I share with you early, you're not going to remember the hour you spent on a podcast, but you will remember missing out on these unique events that to your children are huge opportunities for you to really be present for them.
Yeah, because these are memories you're going to carry for a lifetime, and so are they. And you're so true. A couple of things I want to highlight there. So you talked about superhero abilities, and you've done a phenomenal job, both as a parent and as a business owner, as a partner at Bee Ninjas, to really know your niche, own that niche, and do what is really important to you. And I think a lot of other business owners, especially the ones that we work with, similarly, e-commerce business owners, are in very similar positions. They started a business because they have a superhero ability to either sell something or sell something that they've made. But I think where people tend to not do things correctly is accounting. And that's because you said earlier that it's either they don't enjoy it or they procrastinate or they let it be. And I think that's why I want to spend some time on talking about accounting and the importance of accounting for an e-commerce business. There's no doubt that accounting is needed and it is important to the overall health of the company. But I wanted to hear from you on what are some of the things that an e-commerce business owner whose superhero ability is to sell online, how can they get started with accounting and what should they be looking out for?
Yeah, so we really share five key tips that entrepreneurs can use right now to set the foundation to really stress-free financials. And the first is really set up a cloud accounting system. We love Xero at Bee Ninjas. We're exclusive providers only using the Xero cloud accounting platform. I will share this only because we have 1 year to celebrate, but we are 2019 Xero Bookkeeping Partner of the Year. So every opportunity within these 12 months I have, I make sure simply to recognize the team for the effort that they put in helping us earn this award. We're not in it for the awards, but it is nice to feel validated. It's almost like that medal you get when crossing the finish line of a race. You know, there's all that hard effort that went into the training and the preparation and building up to achieving that goal. And this for us is one of those moments. And being an earlier firm in terms of our history, only now coming up on 5 years, to have an opportunity like this so early is something we certainly celebrate. So I'll share with you the five tips. Step one, set up Xero, but also set up a receipt management system. So HubDoc is a great solution. HubDoc actually comes free with Xero. And the way they interact together is as an e-commerce seller, you get a lot of paper statements. You can simply have emailed directly those statements or have a dedicated email address that's set up to receive these statements. Simply drag and drop from your computer or use a smartphone to snap a picture and upload these statements to this receipt management solution. That then can add to the efficiency and also accuracy of the entry of those transactions into a cloud accounting system like Xero because they interact with one another. The second step is to make sure you've got your flow banking in place. So the reason we suggest these cloud accounting systems over a paper-based system or a manual entry Google spreadsheet, Excel spreadsheet, is that they provide an opportunity for bank feeds. Now, bank feeds provide an opportunity for your bank to seamlessly integrate into your accounting system so that the transactions are automatically fed. So that data entry and input and the opportunity there for error from coding a 7 instead of a 1 has been removed. But also the unique thing is when you have transactions that are fed into your accounting system, the efficiency of those systems also allows for you to set up automated bank rules. So as an e-commerce seller, you often have software subscriptions that are just auto-recurring every month. It's the same rate. You're going to pay the same monthly fee month in, month out. So you want for those transactions to consistently be recorded into your accounting system so that 1 month you don't have your Klaviyo subscription posted to marketing, where the next month you have it coded to software subscriptions. The next is really get clear and consistent with your chart of accounts. Now, chart of accounts is an accounting term, but really simply what that means is this is the Rolodex or the coding sequence that you're going to use to organize your incoming sales and your outgoing expenses. So I gave an example of software subscriptions that may be one line item within your chart of accounts. It's larger areas that you're going to group all of those transactions that are posting in from your bank accounts and credit card statements. Now, the fourth step is to set up and schedule your bookkeeping rhythm. Now, it's important that you actually take the time, put in your diary or your calendar a time in the week that you're going to reconcile these transactions and a time once a month that you're going to set aside to review your financial reports. And that's step 5. Generate and understand not just what your business reports are telling you, but also what business insights can be pulled through the relevant reporting most needed for you to feel that peace of mind and comfort to know where your business stands. So when you do these things right, you'll get magnificent results and really transform the way that you have an ability to base decisions on data rather than just run your business based on hunches.
So many amazing points in there. And I think a lot of what you talked about is true across the world. Doesn't really matter where you do business. And like you said, some of these online systems make life so easy. So I just want to point out that I know in Dubai, where we are based, a lot of the banks already integrate with Xero, banks like ENBD, banks like Rack Bank. And it's the same across the world, I think, right? In Canada, the US, all of these banks have already got set up feeds directly that connect with Xero. And then you can set up automatic banking rules that can really take off a lot of that pressure. And as you were talking about that, I'm thinking about my bookkeeping exercise because I do my own bookkeeping so far for Cloudscape. And you're right, I have the exact same rules set up. I don't have to pay a lot of attention to these because these are exactly the same transactions, the same amount that happen every year, and they're set up on autopilot. So very little bookkeeping for me to do. And the last one that you just mentioned, which is set up a reconciliation rhythm. That is so important. Anything else in life, if you have the discipline to put it on your calendar and get it done on those days, things become so easy, unless you want to wait till your VAT is due or your taxes are due and you're then sitting there and spending time and minutes and hours trying to reconcile the last minute. It's not pretty. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that reconciliation and rhythm is of that reconciliation is so important. So thank you for sharing those tips. Now, I know you mentioned earlier on that you recommend Xero, but I think a lot of these can also happen in QuickBooks. Is that accurate?
That's right. So Xero's fiercest competitor is QuickBooks Online. So we would recommend if you are using the QuickBooks suite is really use the online product. Also, the benefit is we operate in a space where you want access to your numbers at any time, anywhere you have an internet access. And these cloud-based solutions provide you that. You don't need to be specifically sat at someone's PC within their office to access your books. You have that unique ability to pull up your smartphone. And you may be in a cafe waiting for your order, but you can quickly peek in and see the snapshot of where your business stands in terms of its financials.
Right. So irrespective of the system they choose, it's really important that they have a cloud-based system that can make their life really easy. Like you said, you could be doing this anywhere from your phone. literally. Thank you for sharing those again. Congratulations for being Partner of the Year. It's a phenomenal achievement, and that's amazing.
Thank you so much. We are so pleased to hear the award.
And the other thing that I want to point out to our listeners is, while you were talking about that medal going on your neck, I couldn't help notice the poster that you have behind you. You're a runner, and you've completed a half marathon, I can see.
I had been. I'm not sure what's behind me now. But yeah, so I had been an endurance athlete before we went from 2 to 5 children. So yeah, I've run a number of marathons and have raced in a number of century bike rides as well. One of my lifetime goals is to continue to grow a business while completing an Ironman triathlon. So I've competed in each individual element, but I've never put all three together. So in time, I'll be able to achieve that.
That's an amazing ambition. We wish you the very best, and I'm certain that you'll be on your way to do it very soon. That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you also, Wayne, you've talked about the 5 steps to get started. Are there things that you can share that a business owner should keep doing when they've already got the basics out of the way?
Yeah, I think for me, it's important. We advise a lot of potential customers that set up a discovery call with us that it's important for you as an entrepreneur in the early stages of the business to do the bookkeeping on your own for a little bit of a period of time. Because as an entrepreneur and as a CEO or founder, you need to understand where every dollar is coming in and going outside of your business. Now, once you are clear in that understanding, then we believe it makes sense for you to move from do-it-yourself towards a bookkeeper. And really, for us, there's really 3 considerations we often hear about in regards to when is a good time for an entrepreneur to make that move to hire an outsourced cloud accountant like ourselves. Really, the first is their accounting experience and their willingness to learn financial skills. If you're someone that just is not in your wheelhouse, or numbers just never have really been your thing, and you don't have that deep-seated interest or willingness to do the research to understand how to do your books regularly and correctly, then it might make sense to outsource. The second is an available budget for hiring someone else to take care of it for you. If you have the resources, and as we discussed here and a little earlier, and your superhero abilities are not unique to organization and consistency and maintaining discipline against that bookkeeping rhythm, then it might make sense for you to use that time to go out and generate $1,000 an hour on sales, as opposed to paying an accounting provider a much lower equivalent hourly rate for that same time. And that kind of goes into our third. So you lack the experience, you lack the budget, but then also many entrepreneurs do lack the time. To me, it might make sense for me to outsource something like content writing, because you know what? It's a skill that I don't have much experience in. And my time to learn it, I feel there's more value in paying an expert and using my time to be at my children's events and to use that time spent in ways that are more meaningful to me, but still allowing for the expertise to cover those known deadlines and requirements that I know are important in my business.
Indeed. So you actually segued very well into my next point, which is hiring an outside company to help you with bookkeeping. And you've actually hit the nail on the head in the key 3 reasons why e-commerce business or generally an entrepreneur should look at giving that task to someone else. What are some of the questions that they can ask someone like an outsourced bookkeeper to make sure they're the right fit for each other?
It's really important nowadays because of the opportunity for firms to so particularly niche within a certain industry, to make sure that your accounting provider understands your industry. There's unique pain points and problems that need to be addressed for e-commerce sellers that are not the same problems and pain points that need to be addressed to marketing agencies, if you will, more productized service providers. So you want to make sure they have an in-depth knowledge of your industry. You also want to make sure that they have experience supporting customers that you see as being like yourself. The opportunity, and we shared a little bit about this earlier, the unique perspective that we have as a provider across hundreds of customers is that we can share with you some of the success stories and some of the challenges that other entrepreneurs may have faced making the very same decision that you're looking to make in your business. So we not only act as the accountants helping you address the financial reporting, which is really meant for the audience of your government tax departments, but we also help support managerial accounting, which is a little bit different, and it's usually a concept that's not as clearly understood. So managerial accounting really provides that business intelligence, that data points that you can use to make more insightful decisions within your business. And one that you probably know quite particularly is things like inventory planning and forecasting. It's not a very unique skill that many accountants have had the experience in supporting. So it's important that you understand your pain points within your industry and that your accounting provider understands those and has had experience. So you may ask for them to mention any case studies with customers they may have worked with that have supported this, or take a look online. Many of us now are in a position where, I know at Be Ninjas, we tend to market through education. So we're often asked to help share guest posts on certain partners' blogs. So just Google the partner that you're looking into, and if they have any experience or mentions across the certain topics that you're most interested in getting the support. And then I'd say the last one is spend some time on the phone or in a video chat. Make sure you get along. This is someone you're going to schedule time with. We often see, and it's not a surprise, the most successful customers in our business are those that we often meet at industry events and have coffee with and chat a whole lot more about their life than we do their business. Because for many entrepreneurs, their business is simply a vehicle that provides them the freedoms that they want in their life. So the ability to travel, to see interesting places, to be a part of their children's lives, to have the means to provide for their families, unlike they may have had opportunities with in the traditional corporate world. So I'm interested in hearing those stories and being a part of seeing how we can help them align those goals with the numbers that they're seeing in their business.
So true. I love what you talked about there, is that the business really is the vehicle for them to live their dreams and their passion. And at CloudScope, we believe the very same thing. In fact, we keep saying it often that you want a good system so that you can unchain the business owner from the business, and the business owner can do all the things that they started out the business in the first place to live the dream that they wanted. So important. And I don't think you can accomplish that without good systems. And big part of that is accounting and bookkeeping. I want to also ask a question about something that I see happen very commonly in the space that we work with in terms of inventory-based businesses, e-commerce businesses. Oftentimes, I see that business owners will confuse inventory management and accounting. And I'll meet a lot of people that say, oh, well, I have an accounting system. That means my inventory systems are fine. Do you have similar experiences to share, or do you have any advice for those kinds of business owners who have not been able to distinguish between the two just yet?
I think what needs to be understood is inventory in terms of accounting is simply a line item number. But the need to manage that more appropriately has significant impacts in your business in terms of your ability to have the resources to sell potential customers. It can handcuff your business, not making a large enough investment in the appropriate tools to help you effectively manage inventory control and also forecast the restocks that are needed to support your growth projections going forward. So I often talk about 5 e-commerce accounting mistakes, and among them is inventory control, simply because cash flow planning and inventory go hand in hand. Inventory is often one of the largest areas of spend for these e-commerce operators. So an inability to appropriately spend or know how much to spend at what times is so critical. So they are very different, because in the accounting perspective, inventory looks like any other line item, but the complexities of managing the detailed ledgers behind that line item are its own industry. And I'm glad to be in a position now to having the conversations with you and finding a partner that understands not just one of the tools, but a number of the options that are available to sellers.
Absolutely. What I want to get to is the fact that you're very succinct in saying that inventory is merely just a line item, but the planning and the forecasting and the research that goes into making sure that you have that all accounted for is so critical. A simple example that I see a lot of business owners misstep is landed costs, for example. It's not something that they know of, and it's just because the system doesn't have it, they don't see the importance of it. But there are things like these that can become very apparent and become very important when they have the right systems in place so that this all becomes automatic. Thank you for specifying that. I thought that was really important.
And just to add on that a second, it's something that will become most critical if you're in a position and your goals are to exit your business through a sale. Alongside your financials, the broker is going to look for you to intently understand your landed cost. We have conversations with numerous brokers, and they've shared with us templates that are requirements for potential sellers to bring to them to do the due diligence that they do to feel comfortable in listing those businesses on their marketplaces. An understanding of your landed cost is one of those detailed ledgers that are asked for. So it is so critical. And my suggestion is always be proactive in understanding that. It not only plays into achieving the highest sales price that you can get from your business, but also it's so critical to understand your landed cost, because simply if you're not understanding your contribution margin, some call it your gross profit margin, you then lack the understanding around how much fuel you have available to then spend on the second most important spend in your business, and that's customer acquisition. Most do that through paid ads. So when you see within e-commerce a lack of understanding of their contribution margins, you can find yourself in that mistake where you're putting money toward progressing sales in a product that you might not have priced appropriately and may actually be scaling yourself out of business.
So true. Absolutely. You can't see it, but I'm vehemently nodding my head as you're speaking, because these are such key items that a business owner should keep in mind. So thank you for sharing those. One question that I want to ask you, as we were talking about outsourcing bookkeeping agency, do you recommend putting in place some sort of KPIs, or how would that relationship continue and grow?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's critical for entrepreneurs to understand those numbers that they intently want to be comfortable with to feel secure in your business. There's no reason to feel stressed about your business financials. If you are aware of those red zones in your business, then you can take action to make them better, to make those investments in turning those numbers around. So absolutely, there's many, but we love to really look across these top 9 financial metrics for e-commerce operators that they should review on a monthly basis at a minimum. I know some that they'll have detailed dashboards that they have the unique opportunity to look at this every day, but the top one is a vanity metric, but it's important to know where your store stands in terms of sales and revenue. I think more importantly than that, it's important for you to understand, as we alluded to a little bit earlier, contribution margin. So what amount of funds are you actually receiving after your landed costs for those unit sales? And beyond that, we take a step further than your profit. Your profit is simply that contribution margin less your ad spend and operating expenses. We believe in the growth equation that was shared with us by our friends at Common Thread Collective. They shared the growth equation for e-commerce as being a simple formula of visitors to your site times conversion rate times average order value equals your revenue. So for us, we do feel it's important for you to understand those 3 metrics in addition to your revenue. And they're found by making sure you have your Google Analytics set up on your Shopify store with the enhanced e-commerce option, and then creating simple dashboards or having a VA responsible for sharing those with you. You can see very quickly trends. And when you see trends, then you need to look deeper into what actions did we take, or get into Facebook groups or share with others, you know, what you're seeing in your business. I know We happen to be a member of a number of e-commerce focused masterminds where you'll see owners say, wow, I've seen 2 weeks of increased visitors, but a lower conversion rate. Are you seeing it? And often entrepreneurs will share suggestions on, wow, okay, did you do the heat mapping on your site to understand your conversion rate? What are your follow-up sequences look like? And often when you know where to focus, then you can take and put forth intent goals around making those impacts to those areas. Because it's overwhelming to run an e-commerce store. Now, there's so much that you can be involved with. But what you want to do is look at those areas where there's the largest gaps, focus on turning those around first, and then go about picking off the next priority within your business. The two I haven't touched on, a cart abandon rate. It's interesting that on average, about 70%, we've seen a stat here, the average cart abandon rate for e-commerce businesses is 70%. So that means 7 out of every 10 shoppers think about buying something and ultimately don't. So what are you doing to follow them up to ensure that they do become customers and that you are presenting your product in a way that makes it so appealing for them to get to that cart and then actually check out? And then also refunds. I think one line item that folks fail to consider, especially around December, January, is their customer refunds and return rate. Because you've seen the cash come in through these Black Friday offers and deals and these months where you typically see the largest volumes of sales in your business, and you fail to project what that impact might be from your return rate in the following month. So if you're making decisions based on what you think you'll see in sales without that money coming back out of your account, you may be in a rough position where you lack the cash flow to support those goals that you had set that money aside to achieve.
Yeah, so right, especially during holiday season, during festive occasions, there's a lot of customers that don't want what they bought, and it's important to keep an eye on that number. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's been really, really nice to have these tips, and I'm sure everybody who's listening is probably looking for a pen and paper just to make sure that we've listed all of these things down. I want to go back also a few steps to your own journey at Be Ninja and talk about, as an entrepreneur, as a partner there, what were some of the challenges that you guys overcame? I didn't get to ask you this earlier, but I think there's a lot of value in you sharing some of your personal story and how you overcame those challenges, because there are lots of other business owners who probably are in similar situations.
I think early on, there was always the desire to go full-time in Be Ninja, but for a lot of entrepreneurs, especially within the world of e-commerce, we see this often, is it started as a side hustle, and the confidence to make that jump full-time often has a lot of other factors that come into play. So you're looking at making those investments and you're trying to decide, do I want to continue to invest in the business and reuse this cash flow toward marketing, or am I in a position where I can afford to pay myself full-time in the business? So some of the challenges we face early on are much like your early e-commerce businesses, where it's making that decision around when is the right time to cut the consulting customers that you might have that are pulling your time away from the business, and also making the move in, but then also hiring decisions. Our business operates because of our ability to source the best talent that can support our customers that we can possibly find. And some of the growing pains were identifying where we were going to source that talent from. Early on, we were hiring contract accountants. So folks that could offer us, 5-10 hours a week. And we made a decision really early on that we were going to be a company that put people over profits. That doesn't mean we're going to just spend recklessly, but if we identified a candidate that brought certain strengths or certain leadership capabilities to the table that we saw as gaps within our company, we were going to look to find a position and create a role for them in the company. So many of our leadership team came on board in that capacity. Many of us are parents, and we had opportunities with a number of key leaders in our team that had amazing careers and had really stepped outside of those careers to be full-time mothers to their children. But within that, they strived to do interesting work, and they were looking for opportunities that would challenge them professionally. And we were in a position to provide that to a lot of folks. So we hired them on outside of having a true business plan that said, well, we achieve this much revenue, we're going to bring in our customer experience manager, or we're going to bring in a sales coordinator. We just, through our networking efforts, like in and great timing, found resources and made the role available to them and made the offer. Alongside our service delivery team, we started using in-country resources. So in the U.S., we had a U.S. accountant that would have delivered the support. And we started seeing more and more our customers using virtual assistants in Best Shore locations in lower cost areas throughout the world. And we made a decision to trial some resources across different areas, some in Eastern Europe, some in the Philippines, and test if that was an option that would provide us an ability to maintain the customer service that we were delivering to our customers, but also operate in a way that we are not limited to the best talent available at that time. You put out the job posting in that limited geography that you may have made it available, but look to those resources really across the entire country and then across the world. So we've been able to build now a team of about 10 full-time resources in the Philippines. We have two supervisors, a manager, and cloud accountants within that team. We have team members in Eastern Europe delivering cloud accounting services, as well as some operational and internal managers in Spain, the UK, of course, in Australia as well.
That's phenomenal. You know, the one thing that I feel a lot of people who are listening might say, well, this is a cloud accounting business, so it was very easy for them to hire remote offshore workers. But I think you said something in there earlier, which I thought I want to highlight. It's not about the model of the business, to some effect, yes, but it's actually the decision and the drive of the owners and the entrepreneurs to say, you know what, we can indeed bring on talent outside of the country, despite the business model being a non-online business. Because as long as you bring the right people, it doesn't matter where they're working from, as long as they can get those things done. And if you've been able to highlight exactly the key tasks for them, they can be done from anywhere. So it's not really the business model. I just wanted to highlight that one more time.
Absolutely. It's been an amazing test, right, for many businesses. We're in a unique time. We're recording here in June of 2020. We're in the midst of the COVID pandemic, and it's forced many businesses to operate online and find ways to communicate virtually. Now, this has been a way we've operated since the inception of our company. So for us, it was not new to operate and have communications via Zoom, chat, and to deal with customers through email or other online communication forums such as Slack. But what I'm interested in seeing is the ability for those progressive companies to use this test period to implement some of these things, but go beyond finding those resources within your town. I can say there's amazing opportunities to be seen in leveraging talent from lower cost areas of the world, like the Philippines, like Central America, like India, within Eastern Europe as well. And if you're clear in what your expectations and requirements are, and you have a recruiting and hiring process that establishes checkpoints to ensure some of the challenges we found early on that we learned that we needed to implement were, make sure you have provided internet test results. What we do is we have set up trial zero files that we have candidates work through to assess their technical ability, but we use Loom Video. So we in fact see their face on the screen and they narrate as they're working through this test file and sharing with us their thought process. The reason why I'm coding this to this particular account code is because I've researched in Google and I found that Klaviyo is email marketing software and I decided to put it in description. So we're able to see not just the time it takes them to complete a task, but we also hear from them and get a feel for what their communication style might be like. Is their English clear? If we're looking for someone that's going to have an opportunity to speak to our customers, we want to make sure that there's an ability for our customers to clearly understand their communicated language. We also have them email us their results so that we see their written communications. And we've just been in a position to learn how we go about utilizing this amazing resource and talent that's available to us throughout the world, but doing it in a way that serves best our customers, but also us as a leadership team in terms of cash flow perspective and benefits that come from.
Yeah, absolutely phenomenal. I love some of the tips you suggested. And even as simple as sharing your internet test results, because some of the most obvious things sometimes can go unobserved. I love your idea of having them record themselves while they're doing the work so that you can see their thought process and you can see their gears turning in their head to figure out how they solve a problem. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing those. Those are phenomenal. I want to start towards wrapping up, and there's a couple of questions that I want to ask you. Number one, you mentioned earlier the 7-day startup, and I think every entrepreneur should make reading a part of their daily regimen. Do you have any books that you would recommend for entrepreneurs and for fellow business owners?
So there's a few. I'm currently reading and I'm motivated simply because I feel as though Beanage is in a certain place in the business where, yes, we deliver cloud accounting services, but I also feel as though we're almost creating a new category within the level of support that we provide in terms of our insights and advisory services. So I'm looking at us more as growth coaches within e-commerce businesses. So I'm reading the book now, Play Bigger is the title of the book. I'm getting a lot of motivation from that. I did enjoy just more from a technical aspect because I'm not someone in the field of digital marketing, but I did enjoy the ideas and the examples presented in Sabri Subi's book, Sell Like Crazy. That was one I really enjoyed. We've implemented and have had a lot of success with the entrepreneurial operating system described by Gino Wickman in his book, Traction. I think that's been a core book that we've had. Right now, off the top of my head, that's about all that comes to mind. Another Gino Wickman book that has been a favorite amongst our leadership team has been Rocket Fuel. It was important to me to learn that it was okay to be a dreamer, to be a visionary, to be the one that says, I think the industry is going in this direction and these are the types of services that we need to deliver as a company, and understand that it's okay not to be the one that has to then create the project plans, identify the team required and the deadlines that need to be met to deliver against that vision. So I, in fact, have an integrator that supports me within the team. And we try to understand that within all of our leaders. Is this a leader that's a visionary or an integrator? And where we see the gap, position them alongside another team member that might offset that role so that as a collective unit, you have someone that says, I think the company needs to go in this direction. Or as a sales organization, I think the sales organization needs to go in this direction. And behind that visionary, you have the integrator that says, okay, here's what it's going to take to get there. But where is it going to fit in the priorities of the other visions that you've shared with me along the way? Is it going to bump this task we're currently working on? Or is this something we can look at and focus on in our next 6-week sprint? So I think it's important to understand those parameters.
Firstly, thank you so much for sharing the books. And second, again, we come back to that recurring theme of finding your super magic powers and then finding the people that complement the powers that you don't have. So true. And I think that's the success behind any business, right? Finding the right people who can complement each other well and bring a great deal of superpowers.
I think that's exactly true. I mean, you mentioned something that I speak to often. It was shared with me very early on. Actually, it was my father-in-law who mentioned this to me. In the early times when I met my wife and we were dating, he said, the success in your life will be defined by the people you meet and the books you read. And for me, I hadn't been well-read at the time, but I've now loved to really enjoy books and learning. But I really believe in that. I think I reflect on the success I've had in my professional career and in my life, and it very much can be aligned to the people I met at certain times and the opportunity I've had to be like in that same room with a particular person, and really that spark and that connection was felt, and the opportunities that came out of that have really been shown for me to be true. And then the books that you've read too, I think it's important to understand that business is always evolving and you need to be evolving with it. So without personal and professional development in reading, but also implementing those tools that you've read about are going to be the way to success in business. So it's funny because I often credit him for that in podcast and when I speak, but I just remembered I don't quite thank him enough in person. So I'll take an action item from this call to make sure I thank him and share with him that it's continued to come up in my career and life. And it's something I'm thankful for him sharing with me.
Yeah. And maybe a case of beer and
a little bourbon or red wine. Absolutely.
Absolutely. One last question before I ask you where people can find you. What does elevated entrepreneur mean to you?
I think it's being in a position to be open to meeting new people and reading books and applying that network and those tools that you've read about into your business. Also, for me, I reflect on two words that 5 years ago I looked as my theme across my journey into entrepreneurship, and that was balance and growth. And I think balance for me has really meant an opportunity to build a company that I'm proud of, but also be a dad that's present and engaged in leading my family as a father figure. And then growth is just always growing. It's a core value that we share at Be Ninjas. But for me, to just simply do the same thing day in, day out is not enough. I always want to be leveling up, and I really apply by the principle of being every day better. And I think you can only do that through growth. And that growth often comes in really researching and understanding where you have weaknesses and finding those resources to help you level up.
Love it. Thank you so much for sharing. And finally, Wayne, where can people find you? If they wanted to speak with you, look you up, what are some of the places they can look you up so we can add them in the show notes?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're an e-commerce entrepreneur, we have a free download on our website, a Zero E-Commerce Toolkit that you can find at eninjas.com. Also share with Dieran, we have a guide to e-commerce accounting that provides you a lot of our insights and knowledge to getting started or understanding how accounting can help benefit your e-commerce business a little bit better. I'm on LinkedIn, Wayne Richard, available to chat to anyone that reaches out via message. I enjoy this the best. I think for me, the role and having an opportunity to connect with people, I'm in the position within our company to handle a lot of our sales calls. So to hear the startup story and to hear really the energy that's behind these entrepreneurs and understand the tales and the road that they took to grow their business has just been unbelievable. I love having conversations with entrepreneurs or people. So if there's anything that you need, jump on LinkedIn. Let's connect.
Wayne, thank you so much. And it's a pleasure again to have you on the show. I hope that we can do more of these and share some more of your amazing knowledge and experience.
That'd be awesome. Thanks so much for having me, Dieran. I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much for staying with me till the very end of the episode. You've done it. I've got three specific asks for you, only if you think that this podcast is worthy of your support and if you've enjoyed the content. My first request is for you to hit the subscribe button, actually smash that subscribe button so that you can get notified when new episodes come your way. Or if you haven't already, head on over to elevatedentrepreneur.fm and subscribe to the podcast on the website so that new episodes are emailed to you right away. My second request is for you to help me spread the word with your friends and families and business owners that would enjoy this podcast and help elevate them too. You can do that either by leaving a review on your Apple device or just telling your friends how cool this podcast is. And finally, if there's a question that you've been dying to ask me or if there's pieces of feedback that you'd like to give me, head on over to elevatedentrepreneur.fm/speak, where you'll be able to record a voice message that I can listen to and also maybe feature here on the podcast together with my answer. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you, much love, and I'll see you in the next one.